This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
What up, bros?
What up, bros?
And welcome to Bruh Meets World.
When it's Bruh Meets World.
Your boy meets world fancast. This is episode 102. I'm Siege.
And I am Tony Curtis. Yay, yay.
And to keep it rolling, we have another very special guest joining us today. We have Shalina McGregor from the Everything 90s podcast.
Hey, welcome, welcome, everyone. Welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited.
All right. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about your podcast and then tell us what your history is with Boy Meets World?
Sure. So I'm the host of Everything 90s podcast. I started it back in November 2020. And how it came about was prior to that, I had another podcast called The Sweet Tooth Vegan. And that was a part of my baking business. But then with the pandemic, I found myself just having a lot of time to just reflect on life. And I'm a very reflective person. So I ended up creating, like, thinking back to my childhood, the 90s. I'm born in 91. And then I decided to create a podcast just reflecting on the good times in the 90s and connecting with other 90s babies or people that grew up in the 90s. So that's kind of how it started.
I'm 88 and T, you are 87?
I'm the last week of 87, yes.
Yeah, he's like the last week of 87. So it's so crazy because we grew up on 90s, but are we still considered 80s babies? I don't even know. Like, I don't know how that works.
I don't really remember much of 80s culture as much. There's a few things that I guess, like ALF, like a lot of like millennials don't really know ALF as well as I do. But there's a few like pop culture things from the 80s that I guess I have a better understanding of or memory of. But I think what it did allow me to do is be actively involved throughout the entire 90s. Like by the time, like I think Fresh Prince started in like 91, right? Like I was watching it like the first episode as it aired. So like I was really into the 90s as a late born 80s kid.
And also as 91, that means you're about to hit 30. We're hitting those, yeah. Those third decade.
Oh yeah.
30s are better than 20s. Don't let anyone tell you any different.
Is it?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm looking forward. Absolutely.
I mean, everything hurts. I'm not going to lie. But like, but you have more fun.
It's more peaceful, I think. I think you're just, yeah, it's just less craziness.
I'm embracing the I don't give a fuck. Like, honestly, it's just like, I ask myself on a regular basis, whenever my energy gets too high, I'm like, do I really care? I don't think I do.
That sets in strong and it fits like a glove. You're just like, where you been all my life?
Oh, and what's your history with Boy Meets World?
Right. So I watched Boy Meets World when I was younger, maybe middle school or grade school. I think it came on, did it come on ABC in this?
It did.
Yeah, it did.
Okay.
It was so part of the Friday night TGIF lineup.
Okay, so in Canada, we didn't get ABC. We have something called Family Channel. So then I watched it on Family Channel. But not in like any season order, like just whatever came on, I watched. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good show. I didn't really watch a lot of the later seasons when they're in college, but mostly when they're younger.
Were you familiar with this episode when you saw it?
No.
Oh,
that's
interesting.
So interesting. I'm okay. Really happy to see that because this is one of the like iconic episodes in my memory. And like, it just like, I don't know why, but like, it just was so impactful and it stayed with me. So I'm really interested to see like what a totally. First timer feels about this episode. Yeah.
I actually think this is my favorite episode of the whole show. In a lot of ways. To me, this is like, and this is a perfect example, because I always said, like, if no one had ever seen Boy Meets World before, this would be the episode I would show them. And so, like, I'm interested to get your take as someone who's never seen the episode before.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's get, speaking of the episode, T, I think we should talk about, well, there are a few things. One, this episode is called The Eskimo, and that is a derogatory term that I will not be using for the rest of the podcast. So when referring to the episode, I may call it by, you know, the episode's title. When we're referring to the individual who Sean is talking about in the episode, I will call him the Inuit person, and those who are watch or can't see, I'm getting the thumbs up from Shalina, so that tells me I'm on the right track. But yeah, I was like, it's so crazy that the episode itself is the slur, and I was like, not the greatest way to start us off.
Gosh, perfect example of how the 90s just kind of like ruined something great with racism. Like, it always rears its ugly head into everything. And wow, like, I didn't even put two and two together, but I was like, you're right. Like, why the hell is this whole episode involving that word? Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that stood out to me as well. When you sent me the episode, like what we're going to be reviewing on, I'm like, oh gosh, like it just is really cringy. And like, yeah, we don't use that term either. We use Inuit or Inuk for a singular, but yeah.
Okay, so it's Inuk for singular?
Yeah, so Inuit is plural form, means the people, and then Inuk is singular.
Okay, so I'll use that as well. I didn't know the differences, but I did look it up right before to be like, okay, what's the proper terminology?
So should we rename this episode, There's Always an Inuk in My Way? Like, is that how we should think of this episode? Like, the Inuk? Should we just...
I don't even like that
yeah.
That phrase that Sean used. It was just...
Yeah, I look forward to getting into it, because I was going to say, like, there's always a man eating ice cream. Like, that's how I was gonna, there's always like a man eating ice cream in my way, or something along those lines. Make it more playful. But for those of you who don't know, we'll get into the episode, talk about it a little bit, and then you can help us decide. Ati, do you have a tell me about it?
I do. Yeah, let's jump into that. Tell us about it. There's a... I'm so sorry. I mentioned the word in the tell me about it, because they say it so much. Okay, hold on. Let me rephrase. 2021 edit, yo. Tell us about it. There's an Inuit in Sean's way, but he will find a way to do the impossible because of Fine.
I love it. And I love it even more that you made it good for 2021.
Thank you.
We always
yes.
love, like, we grow.
Constantly evolving.
Okay, so this is season 5, episode 13. Look it up yourselves. Upset that the seniors are slacking off, Mr. Feeney threatens to issue Fs and assign personal goals to Sean, Topanga, and Corey. Sean is to find 2 tickets to the Super Bowl. Topanga is to refrain from interfering, and Corey is to help them. Corey will fail if either Sean or Topanga fails. Meanwhile, Eric and Jack search for soulmates. That storyline I also want to address, but in the meantime, let's just go into the A storyline, which is Corey, Sean, Topanga, and their mission from Feeny. What are your first thoughts? Shalina?
For me, when Feeny kind of gets really stern with them and serious, that really threw me off. I'm like, oh my gosh. he's not even smiling or like joking. Like, he's serious. I kind of got a little scared, because what I remember from Feeny, he wasn't that strict or stern. But yeah, that was like my first.
Feeny is always someone where, he's one of those people where it's like, he's a kind, understanding soul until he's not. And when he's not, you should be scared. Like, you know, it's like, yo, this dude has like the most patience. He's been a teacher for years dealing with entitled white kids from the suburbs, again, for years. And so when Feeny's like, yo, I'm not having it, you like, oh, we've gone too far. Like, they even say that Corey and Sean are like, hey, you know that time we talked about? I think it's happening.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about that, though, is that this episode kind of challenges the idea that, like, hey, you never stop learning. Like, that's one of the lessons that Feeny kind of tries to teach the kids, and that the kids kind of, like, upset him with, is this idea that, like, oh, it's senior year, you don't have anything left to teach us, there's nothing left to learn, and that, like, really kind of digs under his skin. And I feel like this isn't the first time we've kind of gotten that vibe throughout this year, this season, about how the boys kind of feel like it's senior year and they're kind of having senioritis of sorts. But this episode does a great job of just talking about how, like, there's that conflicting senioritis, you don't want to do anything, with all this pressure, like, hey, you haven't put in your college forms yet, you haven't been doing the things you're supposed to do. There's all this pressure at the same time. So I thought the episode did a really good job of kind of showing both sides of the senior year experience.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that. And I could relate to that as well. Like, thinking back to high school and even like in university, like in my last year, just being like, okay, but we still have exams, but like, you just want to be over, like, done with it.
Yeah, I think it's really funny. I think, like, what was also amazing is you were talking about Feeny being stern. And I love, there was like a little bit of comedy in that scene where she was like, but I'm Topanga. Like, you're yelling at me, yeah. But I'm Topanga. I don't get yelled at. And I think there are just like lots of moments. And of course, Ben Savage saying it again a little bit later. It's
this, or Feeny doing the callback at the end. Like, this episode's shocked with jokes.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. This episode is like a good representation of like the Boy Meets World we know and love.
Yeah, it's just, there's a lot of really funny parts in it. I mean, obviously there's some big lessons that the characters have to learn, and Sean kind of overcomes like a really massive struggle that I'm really excited to get into. But overall, like, the show does a great job of just keeping it light and keeping it funny throughout, I thought.
Yeah.
So what do you think about like the setup of, because I did say like right from the beginning, we have Sean not doing work and Sean kind of like being disrespectful in a way. Again, we've seen this happen a little bit with Sean where he's like, what's even the point of this? Like, this is just busy work. And as someone who went to school in Florida, I can tell you, Sherylina, who's like from Canada, there was a lot of busy work, especially for as us. A senior. But there is like this idea of Sean just being like dismissive of it. It's like, I'm not going to go to college. None of this really matters. Like, why even try? And then Corey immediately excusing Sean and being like, I'll make up for him. He can share my paper and my grade. And then Topanga being that control freak who's just like, again, I think there was a lot of like them not even necessarily standing up for each other, but just being like, why are you not giving us the like a break? Like, why are you not like excusing our behavior? Does that make sense? I don't know.
Totally, absolutely. And Feeny, gosh, he does such a great job of challenging each kid with the exact like issue that he feels like they need to work on and that they're struggling with, things that he's like, I guess I would imagine if it weren't for this circumstance that happened to arise, he would have to teach Topanga individually how to keep out of other people's business, or Corey to like not feel the responsibility of others. But he was able to kind of sum it all up into one just lesson, overall lesson that I thought was brilliant.
Thing that comes with his experience working with students over the years, like he's able to like create a situation that all of them can learn something from.
I guess the thing I really want to talk about is Sean starts this bigger conversation with like, hey, people like me don't go to college. There's too many things standing in our way. Like, that's where Sean's kind of coming from in this idea. You know, we've seen him. I know you're not super familiar with the show, at least as much as we are, and kind of watch the out of order. But one of the things we've noticed from watching it is Sean has had a really rough life. His parents aren't really involved in his life. He's just had a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, he comes from a different social class than his friends. He comes from, you know, just all these disadvantages. So I it's just interesting that the show was able to challenge Sean to use that as motivation to change versus as reasons to not even try, which I just found super relatable.
Definitely. Yeah, one of the things that I thought was really interesting is this idea of Sean, like, again, Sean may be the most real world character where he was like, even if I do get it, how am I going to pay for it? You know, it's like,
yeah,
these are real world things that people like Sean and people in Sean's status have to think about. And as three individuals who are on the other side of graduating and the recession and like all of these broken promises, so to speak, that came with, hey, you're going to go to college. Okay, I went, I got the degree, now what? It is important to me that, like, we do have that discussion, and someone like Sean is both told to not limit himself, but also that maybe college isn't the right answer. You know, it's like, if you want to go to college and you feel like you're only not going because you feel like you're going to hold yourself back, that's not enough reason. But also there should be conversation about, okay, well then what would you like to do? What do you think is the best next step? You know what I mean?
Man, you guys got me thinking about this episode, like, in a way, like, can I just say this? Because you're right. Like, the show does a very convincing job of arguing that even if you can't afford college, you should sign up for it anyway. And now I'm thinking, like, what the hell? Like, that's not what we should teach people. I don't know. Maybe I spoke too fast when I said this is my favorite episode, because you guys are poking holes in the shit left and right. And it's just making sense. Like, yeah, why are they trying to, like, teach Sean that he, even if he can't financially afford it, he should go for it? I have mixed feelings about that.
I mean, there's scholarships. Don't that.
His grades aren't going to get him any scholarships.
Well, no, I mean, like, here's the thing. I think that it's very possible for him to get, I think it's very possible for him to get scholarships. I wasn't thinking that, you know, that, but it is a situation to where that puts the onus on him. You know, it's like, you're making him fight for something that he's not totally sure he wants. And I think what's important, the more important thing, and I think the lesson that Feeny is trying to teach, is to not limit yourself because of what you think your circumstances are, but, you know, go for it anyway. Go for the impossible and then overcome it. But I just think that what happens in this episode is it kind of gets tied to going to college answers all the problems. And it's like, well, we need to have those two conversations separately. Like, and in a way, I think that the Super Bowl is the best analogy for that.
Yeah.
So instead of being like, hey, apply to all these colleges, get into college or fail, you know, it's more like a, hey, try to do the impossible and or fail. And what's really great about that is ultimately the whole point of this was to fail and to be open to failure. And I think that that's kind of like, not even like the idea of like at the early on, they are like, oh, we get it. You just wanted us to try. And it's like, no, I want you to understand that sometimes you're going to fail and that is also a part of life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that part of the episode when they go back to the classroom and then they're like, okay, we understood your lesson. And then Feeny's like, but where's the tickets? Yeah. What do you mean? There's no tickets. And he's like, get the tickets or you fail. And then they're all like, what just happened?
Yeah, Siege, I would argue that the point wasn't to fail. I would argue that the point was that you can't let the odds of failure stop you from trying. I think, I guess we can get into the Feeny lesson later on, but you know, Sean kind of starts this scene like in the classroom at the beginning of the episode saying like, oh, it's impossible. The first time Feeny brings up the idea of a Super Bowl ticket and that idea of like, what really is and isn't impossible. Like, you want to go to Jupiter, maybe that's impossible, but you going to the Super Bowl or going to college, like there, it's not that it's impossible. You're just going to have to try a little bit harder, maybe adjust your own limitations that you have for yourself. And that's kind of the overcoming the impossible is the element of the show that I think really works well.
Well, I think I think what you said, now that we're like even talking about it, I think this idea of like rethink of how you see yourself is the true, again, we're like getting ahead of ourselves with the Feeny lesson, but I do think that that's kind of like the point, because he does identify with each of those students. Like Sean, you don't see yourself as capable of doing the impossible. Corey, you see yourself as someone who has to always stick up and be there for Sean. And Topanga, you see yourself as someone who has all the answers. And the three of you individually need to rethink how you see yourselves, because when life comes at you, and like I'm doing it in a very controlled environment as your teacher, but when life does it, it's not going to do so kindly. And you think I'm stern? Wait till you get a load of life.
Yeah.
I mean, he even says at one point, he's like, you know, life is a lot harder than school, which was a quote that I really struck me. What I love about him assigning this assignment to is that this trio of Sean, Corey, and Topanga is really kind of a perfect triad of Corey emotionally parenting Sean, and getting fulfillment out of that, while at the same time having his girlfriend Topanga feeling somewhat superior, getting something out of that during their relationship. And so kind of Feeny seeing this almost unhealthy habit that's growing between the three of them and challenging them all, being like, hey, none of you are going to be able to grow to your fullest potential if you guys don't take care of these things. So he really does a good part of teaching all of them a lesson, but also helping them become better friends to each other ultimately, because really, like Feeny said, Sean isn't going to go to college because Corey filled out his paper or because Topanga like studied with him, any of that. Nothing's going to do that. It's really going to be him wanting it for himself.
Right. Well said. Good little summary there.
So a few things I wanted to say that I thought of. First of all, when Topanga and Corey and Sean, like in the very beginning, like when, you know, Feeny first dismisses the class, I had two thoughts. One, when Topanga's like, why aren't you just letting him slide? And he's like, oh, and you the little control freak. I was like, yo, Feeny is like done. I don't know what happened that morning.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Feeny just snapped. And maybe it was like seeing Sean throw away his potential again for like the nth time. But Feeny, like the moment he like said that, I was like, yo, we crossed the line with Feeny. But then also telling the rest of the class, leave us. It's like, yo, can you imagine your education where it's like you're in the middle of class during the day and your history professor is just like, yo, everybody else leave, I gotta focus on these three for the rest of, like, I feel like as a high school student you'd be like, yo, that was like whatever, but also for your education, I don't want to hear anything about my grades, like I didn't get any time.
Yeah. Oh my yeah, gosh,
I would've been so embarrassed, like I would've been, oh gosh, would it, like I don't know, my heart would have been pounding.
There's a line that Topanga, I guess, is kind of fighting with Feeny about the assignment or whatever. And Feeny says, there's a first time for everything. And Corey says, that argument doesn't get you anywhere with her.
I remember that.
Amazing.
Yeah, I honestly, they are starting to do a lot more of the sex jokes now, and I find it very interesting to just be like this is, I, to be fair, it's what we're talking about, it's what they're thinking about, so I think it's true to life, but it's also just funny the number of sex jokes we get with Corey and Topanga now that they are a little older.
And just the fact that like and keep an eye on this siege as we go forward in the season, how many of it has to do with virginity, and like it's almost knocking Topanga for wanting to be a virgin, like all of the jokes, not that it's a good or bad thing, I just want to keep an eye out for the pattern of which way these sex jokes are leaning.
That's actually a really good point. Something else I wanted to say just as a follow-up to the Feeny dismissing the class joke is in the series Girl Meets World, they kind of have like the same thing where Corey plays the teacher and he's like talking to his students and they're like, we're the only three students you really talk to. And he's like, oh, those guys are good. They have the math teacher. And it's just like this idea of like each teacher picks the three that they like zone in on. And then the rest of the class is just like there. And
well, isn't that how school kind of is though? Like every teacher kind of has certain kids that they vibe with, right? Like, didn't you guys all have the like one or two teachers that you just had a special relationship with that you just didn't have with other ones? I did.
Yeah, same here.
You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. I think for like my most memorable teachers, I would say grade five, Mr. Ogino, rest in peace.
Shout out. Oh, sorry. I spoke too fast.
It's okay. You can still shout him out.
Shout out.
Gotta learn to listen, T. But you, sorry, Charlita, you were saying.
It's okay. He was like a father, like a grandpa, I would say, because he was kind of on the older side. But yeah, really great teacher that really cared about us. He's like the high school. I don't know about you two, but in high school, because we had so many different teachers for like every period, it was kind of hard to establish those relationships. I just remember like my grade school teachers.
Yeah.
So I completely understand. I have like two teachers that come to mind. One was in middle school, and I think like middle school is like very formative, and I think that's why a lot of TV shows start in middle school, because it's like that's when you really start, like things really start. I've had a lot of discussions, and I think we, I don't know about you, but like a lot of people I speak to say sixth grade may be like the worst school year ever, like just like that emergence into middle school where you're like the lowest on the totem pole, like that is like the absolute worst that it gets. It's socialized. like I don't know about anyone else, but I'm just thinking middle school is one of the ones that I had, and then in college I had like a professor or two that were really, really impactful. But
you know, as I reflect on it, it's a shame. I did have one or two teachers in high school that I really got along with, but it's funny. I'm not going to name who my teacher was that I had a special bond with, but I think she got sexually inappropriate with a student at some point.
Oh, no.
It's one of those things where I like kind of reflect back on childhood and I'm just like, did I witness trauma? Like, was I a part of something traumatic? Like, I don't know. There's rumors. Nothing's been confirmed. I don't want to say anything, but it does kind of spoil it a bit.
That's hilarious that you're like, did I witness trauma?
Yeah. Did I overhear some things I shouldn't have heard? Which the answer is yes. So yeah, that's a not a Feeny. Definitely not a Feeny. I guess I kind of want to talk to you guys about how Sean goes about like getting the Super Bowl tickets. You know, we end up coming across this radio contest. I guess I want to talk, I kind of talked about how I really enjoyed a lot of aspects of this episode, but I understand that there are problematic parts as we get to the Inuk? Inuit? Am I saying that right? Section of the show. So I guess I kind of want to just ask you guys, like, what was going through your head as you saw it? You know, how did you feel when it was going on? Just your overall thoughts on it.
Yeah. For me, as I kind of mentioned at the beginning, it was very cringy for me, just hearing them use that the term over and over again. I'm like, ugh. But I do understand, like, it was, you know, in the 90s, but I'm glad that, you know, nowadays we've moved past that term. But I didn't like how Sean used the person as a way, like, as a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Metaphor,
yeah. Of like, oh, I always have the quote, the person, I don't want to say the term, I'll just say Inuk. Person in my way. I always like this was an Inuk person standing in my way. When I grew up in a trailer park, that's an Inuk standing in my way. Like, I didn't like that at all. I was like, why are you using another person as a negative metaphor? And you know?
That's exactly, I wrote, my first note was white guy blaming all of his problems on people of color. And I was like, if that isn't a tale as old as time. Like, I was like, you just met this dude. Like, no, this dude is by himself, literally by himself, eating some ice cream, minding his own business.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden you have this white boy blaming you for growing up in poverty and not being able to go to the Super Bowl and therefore not being able to go to college. And you're like, what? Like, again, enjoying my ice cream on vacation. Like, and all of a sudden I'm someone else's problem. That is so America. but.
You know, I'll have to say this, definitely watching this in the 90s, the word was never anything that I batted an eye about. And I don't know if that's due to my own ignorance, my own miseducation, or if it was just American culture just wasn't there yet. It's funny too, because you're right. Like, it's one of those things that I kind of noticed when I was watching it this side around, but I was like, but as you guys are talking about it, like, I really can't get off of the fact that, like, essentially, like, imagine if this episode was called The Negro. And Sean was just like, there's always a Negro in my way. And I'm like,
well, what's funny is that's exactly what this episode,
like, that's exactly this what it is.
Like,
yeah.
If this was written in like 1960 or 1970, they were like, the coloreds, they're always there preventing us from rising above. And it's like, no, that's not their fault at all. Minding your business, eating some ice cream in the cold, and people want to put all their problems on you.
And it's really a shame, because you're right. If they had just done a different metaphor in that moment, and not had just keep coming back to this this phrase over and over again, the episode would just I think it would have the message that I originally got from it. But you're right, it is tainted now that there's just a little bit more education that's happened. Mm-hmm. Man,
I wanted to say I think the overall message of, you know, basically roadblocks and what you put in your way, and then Sean realizing I'm my own worst roadblock. I'm the person keep holding me back. I think that is a good message to have. And I think that letting him see that you're only as limited as your own imagination and what you're willing to accept in life is important. But also, it's funny to me because, I mean, it's a 30-minute TV show, we don't expect a lot, but just also the way that they play the competition is that, first of all, he calls in and they're like, we have the last few tickets left. He calls in and they're like, oh, and you have to do this. No, say that up front. Yeah. Like, don't tell me what I have to do after I call and I'm the 20th caller. But
can I quickly mention just that Sean and Corey being completely disillusioned to the Super Bowl ad on the radio, I thought was actually kind of funny. Like, I was laughing throughout.
Classic television. And
for whatever reason, Sean just felt the need to blame Topanga for everything. Like, Topanga's trying her hardest to tell them, and he's just like, thanks, Topanga. Like, and that actually keeps happening throughout the episode, this just little jab at Topanga.
Again, it's just, in my opinion, it's just white fragility. You have, like, a white man who's like, I gotta blame somebody. This can't be my fault. And all I see are other white men, so... I'm blaming the closest non-white man I can. That's literally what he does for the majority of the episode.
If you take away, like, again, this the phrasing of the analogy of a roadblock, there is something really important to this idea of Sean deciding that he's not going to let his disadvantages standing his way anymore. Like, that's a super kind of huge conclusion for this character, or really for any character to kind of come to. The personal story on this, I had remembered when I was living in Florida and I was deciding if I wanted to move to LA. And, you know, when you're in a hometown, and Siege can attest to this, he knows our hometown, a lot of people end up staying there for forever, right? So it's really easy to just like get caught in that mindset. And when Sean kind of said like, hey, if I don't do this now, I'm never gonna do it. Like there was something about that that I like felt. And because I did feel that in that moment, like, hey, if I don't get the hell out of Florida, I'm gonna be here forever. And like, it was literally the best decision I made. And it was that same kind of gut instinct of just like, I gotta run now or I'm stuck. And I just thought that was just like a really important moment for Sean's evolution, to get to the point where he was just like gonna stop making excuses and just start trying even harder, which I just thought was really great.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Well said.
Yeah. So the thing that I wanted to pick up from is it's not just Sean having his limitations hold him back. It's his mindset about who he is because of those limitations. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not that like being in poverty or not having a good house or whatever is what held him back. It's his mindset about those things and him being like, I'm only this, because I'm a kid from the trailer park, I can't do the impossible, is what I think like was the real restructuring. And again, not blaming external factors, but kind of looking internally. Now, of course, that's always complex because nowadays we're like, well, no, systematically speaking, you aren't set up to succeed and you do have more to overcome. So that's really important to bring up. But I do also think that it kind of goes hand in hand of not letting those systematic circumstances limit you. The only thing I wanted to bring up is when they're on the billboard, not only does when Corey brings Sean the hot cocoa or whatever, he is immediately just like rubbing it in other dude's face and like
total dick
just
to like, him. It's great.
Total dick, high and mighty. And it's like, okay, so like that's also part of the problem. Like the moment you felt like you had like a little bit of upper hand, he's just like in this dude's face. And
the guy has the best line ever, which is, I don't even like football. I like billboards, and you have ruined this for me.
So there was that. Absolutely. That dude definitely has sex on billboards. I feel like it's like this challenge thing that he does. But anyway, but then it's like, A, you knew the other guy was there. You know, the guy eating ice cream. You knew he was there. So why are you even like taunting this dude? And there's this idea of the moment you realized who the other guy was, you were like, oh, I guess there's no way I'm going to beat him out. You didn't even try. You didn't stay. We didn't see it's been like 30 days and the guy is just like getting more comfortable and taking off his jacket because he's like, oh, actually, I'm a little chilly. You know what I mean? Like, or a little warm. We didn't see any of that. He just immediately looked over, saw this guy who he assumed had was better prepared to withstand the circumstances, and then was like, I gotta call it quits, I'm done. And that's what I thought was also really important. It's like this idea of you didn't even really spend that much time doing the thing that you said you set out to do. You just like immediately claimed defeat.
Yeah. Gosh, man, wouldn't it have been so much, I'm sorry, can we just refer to this guy as an Alaskan? The Alaskan? Like, couldn't he have just said the Alaskan? Wouldn't it have had the same effect, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
I do remember